can see the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us mate. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brian, and today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, and this is episode 678 of the Bots Project Podcast, and it's titled Upcoming Roadwork. I'll be chatting about signs of an upcoming project, not-so-covert surveillance, confusing editing, and a little bit more. But first, let's check out in the coffee crew, see who's hanging out in the live chat, grab a cup, and hang out for about an hour. Good morning. Good morning. How we doing today, guys? Looking over here early. We got Pip in. Not so early. Not so early. With Bueller. Good morning, Pip. Dixon. Chris Dixon says, I'm bored. Are we there yet? Where are we headed? Where are we headed? Rewild their lives. Let them know it's just Wednesday. Good morning, Rachel. Jim. Good morning. Missed you yesterday. Good morning, Jim. Let me, with Jim popping in, let me slip over on over to Noster. Oh, man. No Jim on Noster. Good morning, Mike's Homestead. How we doing? Thanks for stopping in. And Pip, wherever you go, there you are. Have you ever read that book? Have you ever read Wherever You Go, There You Are? It is, it's interesting. It's interesting. Pip says, yeah, I'm late. Had some issues with the security guards. Ooh, do tell, Pip. Security guards as in security guards at your place of employment? Did you have trouble getting in today? Did they think you were not an employee when you showed up? Finishing up that bag of... finishing up the bag of Silver Bullet blend this morning. It is fantastic. It's a special treat for sure. It is more of a dark roast on the flavor, more of a dark roast and heavier feel in your mouth. It's okay. I don't mind it every once in a while, and especially with this blend, it works out very well. Tastes fantastic, but I am more of that super light and flavor profile type of guy. So this is not my, if I had to drink it every day, I'll fess up. I will always fess up. If I had to drink it every day, I probably wouldn't choose this. But after four or five rounds of a super light and I toss this in, it works. It works perfect. It works perfect. Oh, no. Oh, no. Good morning, Mike, Philippine Nomad. Thanks for swinging in. Appreciate it. Rewilder Life says she got up today. Coffee's still brewing. But I saw that you had an interesting inquiry yesterday over in the Telegram group. I love it. I love the news, Rachel, and definitely, definitely better than cleaning toilets. Pip's going to share his story over in Telegram, but just a spoiler alert, no rubber gloves for him. All right. Well, if you want to find out what Pip had to do with some security guards this morning, you're going to want to join the Telegram group at t.me/lotschat. That's t.me/lotschat. Great group of people over there. We have a lightning enabled tip bot, which means value for value exchange on good ideas, on whatever funny things. And we're trying to Yay, spring. Yay, spring. Spring is here, and the leaves are coming in, and my Starlink is fucked right now. Should be fixed Saturday, guys. Should be fixed Saturday. I apologize for the blips and the delays, but the tree filled in. The tree filled in, and we think we have it figured out. Corey and I went back and forth on buying a pole to get it up in the air. We have some other factors playing in there. We kind of poked around, and I finally said, I finally found something that I think will work. So where we're parked, we kind of have a U driveway that kind of, it comes in the front of the property. It's like a little quarter acre plot, I would say. When you drive in the one driveway, the U driveway goes all the way to the back of the driveway and the, or back of the lot, and then back out the other front side. So where our parking is in the interior of that U. So I run into an issue where if I want to put my Starlink satellite anywhere except on the top of the camper, I have to run it across the driveway that we and others people use. Not a whole lot of other people. The landowner now and then, the random vehicle that kind of drives through there, just turning around or things like that. It's basically us, but that's our access. And so we've tried to avoid running it across there. I realized that if I run it out across the driveway, there's a nice spot well within my cable reach that will be clear access to the sky. So we went back and forth, and we were going to put it up on a pole and get it up higher, get it out of the restriction of the trees by going vertical. And the pole setup is just, it just looked like a pain in the ass. It looked, it was kind of spendy. It was, it looked like a pain in the ass. And I don't know if we'd ever use it other than just right here. And so I couldn't think of another way. And then yesterday, or the day before, I was out kind of poking around. We were going to move it on the roof, like move it back, try to move it back. And we couldn't. I was going to have to unhook the ladder and everything from our shower setup. And so I was just kind of milling around trying to decide what to do with it and trying to decide if doing the taking the ladder down and everything was going to be worth the 4 feet I was going to be able to move it back. I was trying to kind of look, decide if it was going to give me the clearance I needed as the, so I can tell it's this tree coming in with the leaves because I can see the obstruction on my Starlink app. It shows you what's blocking it. And it's obviously this tree that's, it's coming in. And so I was trying to decide if I move the satellite back, if it will make any clearance. And I really was like, I don't think it's going to matter. And so, like I said, I wandered over into this other area and, it's perfectly clear over there from what I can tell. But I have to get the cord across the driveway. And so I had an aha moment where I feel like I should have done this a long, long time ago. I have this idea, but man, I was like, well, what about it? Like a cable cover, like a hose cover, cable road, cable cover, you know, like the speed bump things, you run the cable underneath the bottom. Yeah, I went on Amazon. They're like $60 for more than enough to cover our driveway. And the channel is big enough to run a garden hose through. So with other projects, with other places we stay, whatever we're doing, I can pack these things up. It breaks down into 4 40-inch pieces, and then they strap together. You take them out, and they like lock together like Legos, and you could run the cable underneath. Supports up to 18,000 pounds. So axle to axle, I think I'm under 18,000 with my truck in and out of here. I don't think there's any vehicle coming in here that's over 18,000. So hopefully we can run the satellite out there. Supposed to be here on Saturday. So Monday, hopefully we're in the clear on Monday. But I couldn't believe, I've used those things 100 times for different stuff in industrial applications. And I always assumed that they were super expensive and kind of didn't really think about them. So that's what I get. That's what I get for thinking, I guess. But hopefully Starlink will be fixed on Monday. Good morning, Pickle Pete. Good morning, Hunter. Yeah, as soon as Pickle Pete jumps in, I freeze up and he'd need me to come back. Hunter over on Twitch, I thank you, sir, for joining. Jim Zaps over on Noster. I appreciate it. Thanks for swinging in over there too, Jim. go run the recruiting if you want there on Noster and get that chat filling up. Give me a reason to have to put it up on the screen. Give me a reason to have to get another screen and keep going over there to Noster. I appreciate all the zaps, Jim. Good morning for the vertical feed, the morning show vertical feed now going. I have that on the list to talk about. If you're over there, leave a comment. I appreciate you swinging by in your shorts feed. And we do this show landscape mode on the full YouTube channel. So Chris Dixon says, I can't figure out how to watch on Noster. What client do you use, my man? What Noster client do you use? And are you an iPhone guy or an Android? Might be able to help you out. What is on the list today? Well, first up, I have there are signs, guys, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I believe it was yesterday. Corey, was the grader yesterday? Maybe not. Was that grader yesterday? Huh. Well, yesterday was a long day because I was trying to figure out if it was yesterday or the day before. But yesterday morning when we were walking the dogs, we went down, we do a down and back on this road that we're staying on, the road that is very busy sometimes. The traffic's pretty busy. When we walk it, unless it's like the perfect day and we don't see many cars, it's very frustrating. It's something that we can't wait to get away from, but we've been doing it for long enough that we've kind of adapted. I've talked about all the challenges with all the different dogs and all the different people stopping and talking and blah, blah, blah. And Sylvia running out of the car or running out of the house and the owner screaming and giving me a heart attack. It's just, it is not the ideal place, especially to walk three enormous dogs. Well, yesterday we got down to our turnaround spot and we're coming back and kind of look over our shoulder and we see a grader, like the big industrial grader. Is that a small horse? Yeah, pretty much. Is that thing walking you or are you walking it? Corey's favorite is when they stop and they basically, like, if you broke down what they said, they basically stop and roll down the window and go, you got a dog. Like, sure do. I don't know if it's people don't know what to say. They want to stop and they want to see something, but they can't come up with something intelligent to say. So they're just like, you got a dog. You're walking a dog. Sure am. Anyway, we turned around, we're on our way back, and a big industrial grader was just kind of crawling behind us. And it was going super slow. It was like, is this dude just like walking behind us to not disturb us? He was gaining on us a little bit. Finally gets up to us, and we kind of stop a little bit. He rolls by. And gets to our just before our driveway, and he had his grader down the whole way. He had it down and he had it beveled down to the side, and it looked like he was just cutting, like doing edging like you do on your sidewalk, but for the road. And he was taking off a decent little sliver, and I was like, geez, I wonder what they're just cleaning that up. Are they gonna do some road patch or something? And he gets down right before the driveway that we use, and he picks up the blade, feet up, goes down, turns around, gets to our driveway, puts the blade down on the other side of the road, and continues on his way back down where he came from. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And we get up to our driveway, and I hadn't really noticed it. They've been there, I believe, for a couple days at least, but really noticed right where he stopped was fluorescent orange marking paint with a line with an arrow pointing back to where he came from. And I was like, huh, That was weird. He stopped right where that line was there, and that arrow road marking. And last time we had random road markings on our road, and we noticed this stuff because we walk it every day, twice a day. Turns out they were putting fiber in, and relatively soon after the markings went in, the crews started coming and digging the ditches, pulling the wire or pulling the fiber, putting in the podiums, is that what they'd be called? Pedestals, where they make the connections and the line drops to the houses. And all the markings had different purposes. Like the ones that had the circle with the P were for pedestals and the drops. And by the time they were putting the stuff in, Corey and I had kind of figured out what all the markings were as we saw them start working. Well, I have a feeling, and Corey has the same feeling, that the grader was cutting the edge of the road because we'll be doing some road construction here. On our afternoon walk, when we were looking at what he did more, they cut out, so our paved road, and I kind of talked about it this winter when we got that ice and the freeze and the heave and all that shit, our road was getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And they were using cold patch on the sides, and as soon as they used it, it would just blow out to the sides, and it didn't really matter. So the road was getting narrower and narrower. When he cut the edges, there's actually pavement below it, and it almost looks like a different substance below that. And I asked Corey if she thought maybe it was concrete. She wasn't sure. She couldn't really get a clean picture of it. But the road is actually like a foot or two wider than where the pavement you could see was. So I have a feeling they're going to cut an edge, and then they're going to either strip and reclaim that blacktop that's on it, or they're going to go right over it and go right out to the old solid base edge. I don't want to experience either. I don't want to experience either with this being the only place we could really walk our dogs. Walking the dogs with the fiber crews that were working, and they were relatively small. Maybe one or two pickup trucks with three or four guys. The dogs they were okay with them. The guys completely ignored them, which was fantastic. They would wave to us, but they had driven by and seen these dogs 100 times. And so it wasn't like anything spectacular or new or shiny or, what? Your horse, you're walking your horse, like Pip says. So I'm not looking forward to big equipment moving on the road. Lots of crews, stinky asphalt. I don't want to do it, guys. It's almost like I need to find somewhere to go. Yeah. So that was yesterday morning. Along with that, yesterday afternoon, I guess it was afternoon walk. I want to tell you about my dog. So this has been told to me that this is my dog. We've discussed before that dogs pick you. Dogs pick you. You don't pick your dog. If you have a couple of them, one usually gravitates towards the one human, maybe both to one human, but the dog picks you. Norman has definitely picked me. Norman is the youngest and, well, tied for the youngest. The two younger boys are the same. They were born on the same day. He is the largest by a good 20 pounds, I would say. He is probably the one with the most medical issues. Well, not probably. He is the one with the most medical issues. He had a rough litter mate. He had a rough go of it with his litter mates. He was the only one that survived one of his litter mates. But he's a big, loving dope, and I'm not upset that he picked me. I think he is, he's a really sweet guy. He really is. And all he wants to do is make you happy sometimes. So he's kind of picked me. Corey, Walter is kind of a loner. I don't know. Walter kind of bounces back and forth. Clyde is definitely Corey's dog. Clyde definitely picked Corey. They are inseparable. So when we go on the walks, Norman is okay behaved. Okay. He's very hard to control since he's just so massive. He's so big. Prong collar, no prong collar, whatever you want. When that momentum gets moving, it's hard to stop. And when he's not moving and he doesn't want to move, you're not going to move him. Walter and Clyde are really good walkers. Corey walks them every day. She walks two, I walk one. Yeah, it looks kind of stupid, like the smaller one walking two and me walking one. But I think behavior-wise and possibility of situations arising, it's probably best that I do take the two dogs, that I do take, or I take the one and she takes the two, that it, we do it opposite of what you would think. Norman can have a mind of his own. As we're walking, he likes to eat grass. He likes to sniff things. He likes to do things, do all the stuff that that dogs do. But he does it in extreme motions. So basically, if we're walking down the road and you're got him on the lead and you're holding him and he wants to sniff the ground, he basically drives his nose directly into the ground, yanking your shoulder out of socket unexpectedly. He's lightning fast for something that big. Other things he does, and what he did yesterday afternoon, and a reason why I'm not looking forward to any sort of road construction, Norman is kind of obsessed with heavy equipment. Big trucks, dump trucks, tractors, graders, equipment that you would probably use for road construction. He likes to stop and watch them. He likes to watch them go by. At first, I thought he might be scared, but it really looks like he just wants to watch them go by, like a little kid, like a 4-year-old that wants to watch the big trucks. So yesterday on our walk in the afternoon, we were walking down the side of the road, and I got Norman, Clyde and Walter ahead with Corey side by side coming behind us. And you could hear it, you know, they're louder than cars. It's like, nah, it's coming behind us. Norman's looking over his shoulder, like, what's going on back there? All of a sudden, he decides he didn't want to walk anymore. On the side of the road, just stops, completely stops. I kept walking. I had the lead. I'm like, come on, come on. It's okay. And he just stood there, looking at me like, nope. And he kind of gently turns around and faces the road, and the side-by-side drives by, and he just kind of watches it go by. And then he looks down, takes a breath, and starts walking again. There's nothing I can do. If he wants to stop and he wants to not move, he just doesn't move. We're at the point where he hasn't laid down yet. Most of his shenanigans like that have been just, he just stops and he wants to watch something go by. But I'm wholly expecting in the near future that he will just be done on a walk sometime and just lay down until he's ready to come home. And at that point, we just wait. Like, there's not much you can do if he doesn't want to move. So I'm looking forward to that. Rewilder Life says he just likes things bigger than him. I'm bigger than him, and he doesn't necessarily want to listen to me. he's something else. I don't think I've ever experienced an animal quite like him. Pickle Pete says Chicken Joe bought Scrappy. Chicken Joe bought Scrappy. Then he bonded with me. Then got Banjo. Now she's on the lookout for another rescue. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just dad. Rachel says I'm just dad. Yeah. He bonded to me for some reason. When I come home, so it could be from an all-day trip to Tim's out at Delinquent Scully, like I'll talk about here in a second. It could be a half-day trip to do laundry and get groceries. It could be a two-minute trip to the post office and back, literally under 5 minutes. And I pull the truck in the driveway, and Norman will either, if the door is open, it's just a screen, he'll be pressed up against the screen, grunting. If the door is shut, he's grunting behind the door. He'll start singing. Good morning, Backwoods Butcher. Thanks for stopping. He'll start singing and whining and howling because I'm home. And it will continue until I come inside. He runs around and grabs a toy and continues to push the toy against my legs, show it to me, push into me, run into me, bounce around and tiptoe like a little Scrappy sized dog, 8, 10, 12, 15 pounds, just prancing around, howling with the toy in his mouth. And it goes on for minutes. Like, I'm excited to see you. It's like, I didn't think you were ever coming back, and it must have been years since you left, is how it feels. Now, I hate to say it, but Corey, does he do that when you come home by yourself? Not as much. Not as much. He gets a little excited when Corey comes home. When we come home together, he gets excited when she's on the way in, and then he gets out of the way and really blasts off when I come in. It's very frustrating when you're carrying groceries, you're trying to put stuff away, and you have a 180-pound dog, like, bowling into you, screaming, pushing a nasty toy into your hands, into your face. When I sit down in my chair, if he's still going with it, he'll literally almost crawl up onto my lap because he's pushing so hard and incessant on, and I'm putting the toy in my face. If I go to take the toy away, that's no good. It's only for observing. There is no touching of his toy. It's amazing. It's frustrating until you realize the fact that he is so excited to see his human that's how he acts. And then I feel bad for ever feeling mad about it or being like, stop. Like, seriously, this is a little much, dude. This is the reaction sometimes. Backwoods Butcher says it sounds like his 2-year-old. And he's 3 and a half, so. Except your 2-year-old is 180 pounds. Chris Dixon says, if you want to know true love, lock your wife and your dog in the garage, leave for a day, and see who's happiest when you get home. I don't have a garage, so lucky for me, I'm not going to try that experiment. Kyle, when your wife returns, you should give that a go. Should probably be cuddled up with the dog saying, screw it, we don't need Kyle. We don't need him. So Norman is definitely my boy. Unfortunately, I think we both see the writing on the wall, and we know that Norman probably won't be here. He'll be here the least of the three for longevity-wise. And it sucks. It sucks. He's such a big oaf and such a big lover that Yeah, it'll be a rough one. All three of these guys are so loving and so all, even the annoying things they do, even the things they do that drive me crazy, I know they do out of love. So especially the slobber and rubbing their slobber all over you and rubbing their chin all over you. It's rough. So St. Bernards, I would highly advise avoiding the breed. Backwoods Butcher says, I'm running into the woods with no plan once my wife pulls in the driveway. I saw that Kyle's wife was going on a trip. I think maybe with her sisters and her mom or something. And all I could think about was Kyle with two young girls at a farm and everything he's got going on and just laughed. And Kyle's going to play Sarah McLachlan when any of my dogs get sick and make me cry. Oh, yeah. So that's the near future for us. I have a feeling hopefully the road crews here get work done as quickly as everything else around here, and it takes 3 or 4 months for them to even start the project. That would be fantastic. Chris Dixon says, you can almost picture Kyle running around whining and howling and trying to shove his bone in her face. Ah. And then right out the back door, right into the woods, like the greased up deaf guy from Family Guy. Good morning, Hanging Laundry. How we doing? Thanks for stopping in. Good morning, K-Bonk over on the vertical feed. Appreciate you over there. And let's see if Jim rounded up any vertical. Jim asked if Noster has vertical. I don't know. I'm only sending the vertical feed to YouTube as an experiment to get it into the shorts feed. I haven't messed around with anything like that on Noster, so I only check YouTube on that second stream. I've been thinking about trying to send it to the other vertical platforms if I can figure out a way to send it to TikTok and Instagram, and yeah, I don't know. I haven't had time to sit down and think about it. It's been a whirlwind for sure since really before SRF, and trying to get everything done for SRF, and now after trying to catch up, trying to lend my buddy a hand out at Delinquent's Gully since Tim's in town for a solid 9 to 10 days, trying to pound out some stuff out there. So it's been busy. Somebody dropped me some feedback on the comfreyroots.com website yesterday in the group. Thanks, Aaron, for dropping that feedback. And man, it's just like, I have two pages that I want to put up on that. I got to do some adjusting and tweaking there. It's just, that was a rush project to get done as we went to SRF to have that available. And now it's like, trying to wrangle cats, get all my ducks in a row, that all the projects that just went sideways. So getting there. Eventually we'll be there. Big old rain coming in, guys, right now. So hopefully between the leaves and the clouds, I'll keep signal. I'm sure I won't blip out at all anymore with a thunderstorm rolling in and the leaves. We'll go down to this on the list. All right. How about another observation from Kitchen Nightmares? We continued down the Kitchen Nightmare road yesterday. Hanging Laundry wants to know if Comfrey's still available. Always. How much you want? Send me a message. We started watching Kitchen Nightmares. Yesterday, I told you about Gordon's analogy for the stuffed banana peppers and a donkey dong. And that one still made me chuckle, even when I didn't hear it. But one thing I forgot to mention, and then we noticed it again last night when we were watching a couple episodes, is this really weird editing that they do. And I think it might be the fact that it was probably on TV and then it was on Amazon. And some of the editing came in video form and some of it came in audio form. But on the show, when either Ramsay or Hanging Laundry says, heard Gordon Ramsay's a very nice guy in real life. He's a very nice guy other than when he's in the kitchen, when it counts. That's why he's so successful. He can separate work and personal. And if you can't do that, you can't work for him, because all those guys that get screamed at that are his employees, I'm pretty sure that they have so much respect for him and he actually treats them like gold, except when they fuck up. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But we're watching it, and anytime Ramsay or one of the people he's helping or somebody swears, curses, they blur their mouth out, like the video. They put like the blurred sensor over their mouth, but they don't put a beep over the swear word. So it'd be like, holy shit. But you can hear them. It's like, holy fucking shit. And it's over their mouth. And I'm like, is this a censorship for the deaf? Like, we are only censoring it if you're lip reading. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get it. Just an odd thing. And I don't know if it was that maybe when it was on network TV, because I think he was on Fox or something. I don't remember what channel his shit was on. It's been so long since I watched like actual TV. I'm guessing that there's some algorithm in the audio of the public broadcast that beeps it when there's a curse word. But the fact that they blur out the mouth is just phenomenal. I was like, wait, what? You might as well blur it out and then just write it over top with a question mark, an exclamation point, instead of all the letters for fuck, it should just be the F and the K with words in the middle, or the symbols in the middle. Pip says, if you don't fuck up, the dude won't yell at you. Really? I mean, no shit. These people get so, oh man, these owners. And I mean, I get it. It's season five. And I'm following my own rule, evaluating shows after the second season of the unscripted TV. And these people just want to make this a spectacle. They want the show to be a spectacle, whatever. But some of these people that they have on this show, I'm like, this can't be real. And then I wonder, because I've met some people where I'm like, you can't be serious, like in real life. Backwoods Butcher says, sounds like having a stepdad. I can't go down the incest line today, dude. Not today. I look at these people and I'm like, no. I can't believe that someone is that. I mean, denial is the word of the season, I think, so far. People that are that deluded, that think that their stuff, their food is good when they put it on the plate and you're looking at it and you're like, no, there's no way that someone actually thinks that it's good, that it's visually appealing, that like I can't even taste it, but the grease and the curdled sauce and shit like that, you're like, yeah, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that can taste good. So are those people out there? Is it an act? Is it a game? Like, they walked into this one restaurant that it just looked like a remade doctor's office. Like, they took a doctor's office and just like put some crappy tables and cheap chairs in there, and they were like cooking out of the back room. I'm like, this is pretty big production level for them to come out and do this. Like, did they just pop this up in a strip mall and we're like, yeah, we're gonna do a Kitchen Nightmares here? Or was there actually a restaurant there that someone thought that they were going to be successful setting up like that? And the lady had been there, they said, like 8 years. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. Kyle says he'll try for the incest chat tomorrow again. That's one of his things. I think that generation and watching all this weird stuff on the pornographic websites, they're always talking about like stepmoms and stepsisters. And I've never understood that. I've never understood the obsession with the step stuff, but man, it's loaded. It's loaded. Chris Dixon says, watched a show with closed caption and the video and audio was censored for language, but the closed caption was not. They figure if you're intelligent enough to read it, that you don't need to be censored. I don't know. Backwood says, we use the x-ray machine to hard boil all our eggs. Hunter says, I always wonder if it's really, really bad food, why do they have regulars? Four people are keeping it open. Dude, not everybody thinks it's bad food. I have friends who think that Top Ramen's good. There's plenty of people that go to Applebee's and think that that is high cuisine. Just saying. He does make a great point, though. He was in a restaurant yesterday, and there's takeaways from this shit, even if it's fake. But the guy insisted that he was fine dining. He was high-end dining. He was classically trained and all this shit. And he was charging extremely high prices for his food, which was all frozen and reheated. And basically, to display his idiocy, Ramsay figured out how much a meal for two people would be. So if they came in and had a meal, like a couple, it would be about $100, they figured. And so he went to the local grocery store and bought $100 worth of phenomenal food. It looked like 5 nights worth of steak and ribs and beautiful vegetables and all of this. And he says, this is what you're competing with. It doesn't take much to take these ingredients and make them 5 nights in a row far beyond anything that you're serving here, especially for one meal. So this is what you're competing against, value for value, when you're charging this much money for shitty food. And I was like, every fucking restaurant owner, every executive chef, every server should go through this mental exercise with the restaurants they're working at. When you start to think about value for value exchange, and we're not talking about the one-offs where you just really want to go out to dinner, you're in town, you're visiting, you're just going out to eat, you're celebrating something. Those are rare occasions. What really runs a restaurant is the regulars, the people that are coming back, the people that are deciding to come out and eat instead of learning how to cook or cooking for themselves. And if you can go through the mental exercise of, this is what this money would get you if you went somewhere else, if you went to the grocery store, you went to a different restaurant, it really puts it in perspective. So I thought that was very, very, very good way to present that. I also love when he goes into their walk-in coolers and they're just full of like expired and moldy food and stacks like food that you couldn't, use up if you cooked all of it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and months on end. And he'll like bring it all out and lay it on the tables and when their menu is like 17 pages thick and he goes and he makes everything on the menu and he lays it out all in a room and gives that visual representation. I think that's what people are lacking in the restaurant industry because it flips so fast. Like you send food out, you go into the cooler, in and out, blah, 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 and all that shit. You never really take the whole picture in. You're so stuck in the moment. And when he does those things, the looks on the people's faces, it's like, oh my God. They had some Greek guy last night that was flipping through his thing and he had 64 menu items or some shit like that. He hadn't looked at his menu in 28 years. And he finally started to look at it and they were trying to get him to cut items out and make his menu smaller. He's like, no, no, no. And all of a sudden he like flips the page and he goes, how many items are in this menu? It was his menu. He was the owner. He's like, I haven't really looked at this in like 28 years. And they counted all the items. And it was like 64 menu items. And he's like, oh, man. And it was like that light bulb moment where he was just like, do whatever you got to do, because I obviously am so oblivious. I'm not going to be able to fix this. And it was like when he gave in finally was when he finally looked at his own menu after 28 years. Like, holy shit, that's a lot of getting in the motion, going through the motions, 28 years worth. Pickle P says, if food, paper, and labor is more than 50% COG, you go broke. Food cost is real, but real food is a must. No frozen trash. Well, yeah, and he gets fucking really irate when they advertise fresh and it's frozen, and they think because they got it in fresh and froze it to make it last longer. And Pickle Pete also says, oh, those walk-ins don't even start. The ones way to smell, holy crap. Yeah, whatever Pete says there. He says he drives them to capitulate. Yeah, he's very good. I would be out the door. I told Corey, I'd be out the door in a second with some of these people. Like, you don't want me here? Well, I'll fucking go. Like, no skin off my nuts. Like, really? You called me? If your shit closes tomorrow, I won't even blink an eye. Whatever. I don't care. So if you're going to fight me, fuck it. I mean, I know that's what the show is all about, is the confrontation, but like, really? Why doesn't he just turn around and leave? Because I guess he wouldn't have a show then. I didn't plan on talking about MasterChef or Kitchen Nightmares for so long. Got some not so covert surveillance, I think, going on. New fun for Brian to think about. I've seen this before. I haven't seen it quite in a little while, or at least noticed it. And I usually notice it quite often when it's going on. But when I take the dogs out at night and it's dark, when we take them out for bed, last night I glanced over at our neighbors, you know, the ones with all the creative yard decorations. We back up to them. Our yard is... all the yard decorations are in the front, but their backyard backs up to the lot we stay on. And I glanced over there. Good morning, John Palmer. Thanks for stopping in. I glanced over there last night when we took the dogs out, or I took the dogs out. I take them out one at a time. And when I'm going down the dog ramp, I look over towards their place and I see flashing red light. Now, they have a lot of the Night Guard. I don't know if you guys know what Night Guard is. I thought it was like a national thing, but they invented it like 20 minutes from where I lived in Minnesota. So I don't know if it was only regional or national, but Night Guard is like a little black box. It's got a red flashing light, and it's supposed to ward off predators. You put it on like your chicken coop or wherever you don't want predators to come in, and it mimics the eyes of something they don't want to deal with, another predator. We used them in Minnesota. They were relatively effective, from what we could tell, I guess. Do you really know? But they have these on their property, like, but they also have hanging laundry loves their night guards. They also have security cameras. And I've told you they mounted them right by the road in the front. This blinking red light was not a night guard. I was looking at it when I took the first dog out down the ramp. We walked over in the yard and he's peeing. And when we come back, it looked like somebody was shining a fucking flashlight at me from the dark. And the red light was gone. And I'm like, oh, really? So I flipped it off. I figured they were watching me or something. I flipped it off. I'm like, fuck you. Went in with the first dog. I come back out with the next dog and the light was off and the red light was back on. And I was like, oh, they're not standing over there in the dark like a creeper. They just put a fucking camera up. And I think I've seen it over there before, but I assumed it was like further back because depth perception is kind of rough in the dark, but the light was, it was. Saturday can't come soon enough. I didn't trigger it again with either of the dogs, so I don't think I triggered it when the light came on. I think there might have been a squirrel or a cat or something that walked by and triggered it on. I'm sure it's motion sensor. And I did go out later and do some stuff a little closer to it, and it didn't trigger again. So I don't think it's set up to trigger where I am, but I've run enough game cams and I've run enough cameras like that that I know if it's on, I'm in the background. So Pickle Pete says squatch. I'm thinking I might come up with some interesting poses maybe. Was the white light on? Corey thinks they saw her in her underwear last night. She had to go out and grab dog food because it was starting to rain. I'm thinking of some interesting poses. We would always shoot around ideas to screw with our buddies with their game cams. If you got a chance to get out by them and they didn't know it. But I mean, if I happen to be in the background of some of their videos, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I come to think of it, every night I go out in the middle of the night and I just piss in the yard in the dark. So good thing my wiener is small enough that nobody can see it from that far away for sure. I don't think they have the 500x optical zoom on that camera. But yeah, I don't know. It's getting to a point right here. Backwoods Butcher says, well, it's time to find an affiliate with a gorilla suit. Oh, I was thinking way bigger, way different than gorilla. Like, I was thinking maybe we could figure out with maybe a John Willis hookup and borrow one of his giraffes or something. Wait till dark, bring the giraffe in and like set it up, get the camera to go on, and then before light, take it away and hide it. They look at the camera and there's a fucking giraffe in the yard. Pickle P says a few extra tugs and they got a mature video. You gotta have to tug it a lot to. It's a grower, not a shower. Oh man. You wanna see my Hello Kitty tattoo? I saw my next tattoo I wanted. I sent it to Corey. This is how our relationship works. I saw a tattoo that I fake alien landing. Oh, Jim. I like it. I sent Corey a picture of a new tattoo I wanted. It was great. It was, and I think I've seen it before in passing, but it really struck home this time. Basically, it was a picture of Tigger at the top of a guy's ass crack, and he's like he's yelling down into the ass crack, "Hey Pooh, are you in there?" I don't know why it's so funny to me. Because I like shit jokes or something. I don't know. Corey's in the back going, "I don't know either." But I thought that was kind of funny. It's still making me chuckle. But I sent a picture to Corey. And I said, I sent you my next tattoo. No reply at all. No response. Didn't even fucking acknowledge that I sent the message. So it was like the next day, I was like, "Hey, did I show you that picture of the new tattoo I like?" She goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "And?" She's like, "Did the no reaction not tell you enough?" I'm kind of sick, guys. I think it would be a fantastic tattoo. I'd want to show everybody. Like, that is a tramp stamp worth showing people. I guess some of the girls that get tramp stamps think it's worth showing theirs too, but that would be one that I would be trying to get onto a camera somewhere. I don't know. I think that'd be fun. You guys want to all get one together? If we can raise enough money that everybody can get the Pooh tattoo, the Tigger, "Where are you in there, Pooh" tattoo, and everybody agrees to get it, we could work something out, I think. Pickle P says you'd have to take some plumbing jobs for fun. Oh, God, I would be wearing, like, low-rise pants and bending over in every store I could. Just, I'd be at Home Depot, like, squatted down and pulling my shirt up from the front just so it sticks out. Backwards Butcher says, "I almost got the Pillsbury Doughboy as a tramp stamp drunk in Key West." I don't know if you need to talk any more about your drunk adventures in Key West, young man. I know what happens in Key West. Rewilder Life says, I do not need to see more crack while working with contractors. But Rachel, what if it had a Tigger that said, "Hey Pooh, are you in there?" Jim says, "And this tat I got because of a homeless guy on YouTube." Pickle Pete says, and I assume this is from the Key West comment, says, "Lots of blow, cocaine and otherwise." Kyle's neck was sore. Woke up in the morning, his throat was sore, and he's like, "What did I do last night?" Love you, Kyle. Love you, buddy. Oh man, what do we want to wrap up here with? All right. Well, one last thing. This is quick, and I can't figure it out. Maybe you guys can help me. I think I know the answer, but I was looking at my YouTube dashboard yesterday. Jim says "embrace the suck" has a different meaning in Key West. While in Key West. What happens in Key West stays in Key West, except all the VD you bring home. I was looking at my YouTube dashboard yesterday, trying to get a grip on and gauge the trying to gauge whether what's going on with sending the vertical feed, live feed with vertical feed, and comparing view numbers and all this stuff. It's getting, this will be, I think this is the fifth day I've been doing it. So we're getting to the point where I can start looking at the statistics and seeing what's going on. And I happen to be scrolling through my videos, and I don't know if you've used Yahoo, or excuse me, YouTube, and you've looked at your videos and you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I have to explain it, but there's a column there when you can monetize videos that basically says it's on, it's limited, or it's turned off. So basically the user, me as the creator, has the option of turning on or off monetization once you have 1,000 followers, subscribers or whatever. And so you can do that. And then after YouTube watches the video or analyzes the video, they will make a determination whether it qualifies for monetization or if it is kind of bad and some advertisers won't want their ads on it. So it says limited availability. Okay. I mean, we just talked about VD and KW and all that stuff. So like, I'm not shocked when mine pop up as limited availability. It's okay. The issue that I have is I was looking through them yesterday and I have this live feed, the horizontal live feed and the vertical live feed. If you're watching on the vertical, I guess that would be the vertical live feed. The same episode. One has full ad eligibility and one has limited ad eligibility. They are literally, other than the orientation of the screen. Hey, Chris Dixon, have a great day. I appreciate you showing up. Have a great hump day to you. Other than the orientation of the screen, the content is exactly the same. It was recorded from the same camera at the same time with the same microphone, but YouTube determined that one of them is good and one of them isn't so good. I'm so confused. It's not like it picked up a trigger word or a keyword or a, like, literally the same video, other than one is my face and one is the landscape. And I would say, oh, it's because it was a shorts feed instead of the full feed. None of the other ones have done that. And I guess the only difference is the title. But the title wasn't anything, Pickle P says it's the ducks on the shelf. The limited one is the tighter view, is the vertical view. They don't want to publish spy code. No, it's actually the vertical one that was limited, and I'm just confused. Not that I mean it is what it is. It's like saying, oh, we're going to cut your penny in half. You know, I'm rolling in it from the ad revenue from these live streams, guys. So watch out. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up here. Pickle Pete is waiting in the wings. Old Sensi scrambling over on the West Coast. Jim says, just call YouTube and ask them. Yeah. I was talking to Tim yesterday about Amazon and trying to get a hold of them from the creator side. Customer service with the if you buy shit as a customer is fantastic. If you try to get a hold of them as anything, as a like a associate or a Amazon influencer, content creator, anything like that, good fucking luck. Same with Google, same with YouTube, all of them. No way, they don't even give shit. They'll find somebody else to do it. But anyway, Sensei scrambling over there on the Food Forest Farms website or on the Food Forest Farms YouTube channel, waiting in the wings, getting ready to get going. I'm going to get out of here. I got laundry and grocery day today, so I'm sure I'll have some fun stories for you tomorrow. I got a few things left off the list today that I didn't hit touch on that we will cover tomorrow. I appreciate everyone listening. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit the like, share, and subscribe. You can return value for value for consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any value for value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. Check out thelotsproject.com and comfreyroots.com to find out all the different stuff I sell. Hanging laundry, you can find Comfrey Roots either on either site or you can message me directly. That is always an option too. Other than that, guys, it's hump day. Get over the hump. Make it an awesome day. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste a minute of the time we have left here. Knock it out of the park, guys, and we will catch up with you tomorrow.